Heavenly, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day and for this time. Lord Father, unite us together, one in your spirit, for those gathered here physically now, and for those who cannot be with us, Lord. Father, we pray that unite in your spirit your entire congregation, your entire communion of the CEC, and your entire body of Christ throughout the world through one Holy Spirit now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And hello out there to you all in TV land as well. Nice to see. I see a couple there. And this is really cool, you know, because just like they're sitting here with us. I like it. It's really neat. Hope you can hear me okay. Can you hear me? Nod your head. Okay. Can you hear me? Nod your head. Okay. And you can tell that I'm old because I said TV land, didn't I? Yeah, that's bad. Now, isn't that a TV channel? Well, that's what we all used to say. And welcome to our studio audience in TV land. No. This, you're not a studio audience, you know. So it's constantly amazing to me about God and his incredible way of bringing things together. Because I don't know if you picked it out in the collect for today, in the scriptures for today, these were not put together for today's situations. Okay, these were put together ages ago. But God always knows the right word for us in all times. And so I pray, Father, that you give me the right word to pray, to give out today as well, too. And if you want to, in your Bibles, you can turn to Romans chapter 5, because that's kind of where I'm going to go, our epistle from Paul there. And I'm going to kind of concentrate on Romans 1 through 5. And specifically right now, Romans 5, 5. Says, our hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who he has given to us. Going back a little bit for, and I actually, you know, because I know you're reading the NIV or possibly NKJV right now, but I want to read to you from the New Living Translation here. And now listen to this, Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserving privilege, where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. This hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how clearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. I don't know. I like that. That's kind of, what's the other version of the amplified? I like that. It's amplified right there, you know. And that's really cool because hope does not disappoint. And that's the key right now. Or put other ways, hope doesn't discredit us, you could say. Or you could say, it doesn't show us to be wrong. Our hope does not shame us. Or you could say it this way, our hope doesn't show us to be fools. Okay? All that you can translate that as, okay? But our hope does not show us up to be foolish. All right? And, you know, that's what the world thinks of Christians these days. They think we're foolish and superstitious. And, you know, the scripture even says that they will do that. It says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Right? Yes, you know that. Okay. Paul is telling us, though, that that same hope that we have, the thing that brings you here all the time, is not foolishness, and it won't disappoint. Never. Okay? He's telling us that God is good for his word. Jesus is good to his word. Okay? You know, people have gone through lots of trials and problems over the years, over the ages, over the eons. And problems, like Paul says, develop endurance. Endurance develops character. Character strengthens our confidence. Character strengthens our faith. Character strengthens our hope. And I know we all have great faith. I know you all have great faith here. You know? And I know what you hope for, too. Because we all hope for the same thing. It's in the book. Right? Endurance develops character. So, on that line, I want to show you a brief slide presentation. And I apologize for this, y'all. Maybe you can kind of see it up there. See, I can see the screen, too. So, all right. I told you last Sunday that Ethan and I were going to go on a hike. And on Monday, we did go to Lost Cove. And if it'll work, I'm going to do this. So, Yancey County, as you can see, near the border of Tennessee. That rhymes. It's cool. Yeah. I can do a song. Okay, I've come up with something that rhymes with Nolichucky now, though. Just south of the Nolichucky River, close to Bakersville, if you kind of get an idea of where that was, okay? And Ethan had found things out about us on the internet and found it very fascinating that there is a ghost town in North Carolina, in Yancey County. And so we wanted to go see this ghost town, all right? So, the settlement goes back as far as the days of Daniel Boone. Some of his settlers stopped there and built cabins. It was really developed more after the Civil War by a Union soldier who moved there. And it eventually grew to about 14 or 15 houses. And part of the reason it's called Lost Cove is because there was never a road built to get there. Okay. Also, because it was so close to the border of Tennessee, North Carolina, that Tennessee and North Carolina couldn't decide which state it was actually in. So it was like, well, we don't know, you know. So as Ethan points out, it was a great place for moonshiners because, you know, the judges couldn't figure out which jurisdiction it was in. Well, I don't know. How are we going to, you know, so it was lost. Okay, it was a lost cove, and it continued to be a community up until about 1957, I think it was, and the last people finally moved away then. It was, of course, you know, the way they were able to survive through the years was logging, and of course, the logging died out after a while, and then the railroad, which claimed close to there, stopped stopping so they wouldn't be able to pick up their logs. So, as we are hiking along, the first thing we come across is this. Okay, this is just three barrels, as you can see, and they're kind of sitting there. But the problem is they're sitting in the middle of the woods, all right? And you're just walking along, huh, look at that over there. Thought that was kind of interesting. And the interesting thing about these three barrels is there was also remnants of a wooden barrel next to them. And if we look closer, you see that obviously they've rusted out and all that kind of stuff, right? But you also can look there and see there are these gashes in them. These things were axed. Okay. Now, why would they axe barrels? Because it was a still. This was a moonshine still, you know, which is still sitting there in the middle of the woods, as you can see, just like that. And it's just right off the side of the road. It was really pretty interesting, you know. So it was pretty cool. Now, let me see if I can go on. There's a friend that I went with, okay? And once you finally get up high, we get up to this bald, open field. You know, this is about 4,000 feet high, I guess you'd say. And the trail there is classified as most difficult, which is the highest level of difficulty for a trail. Let me tell you, they weren't joking, okay? It's really pretty nice, but you see, once you get up on the bald, it's really nice there, and you can see around. You get a great 360 view of Yancey County, pretty much, and as you can see, the trail goes along the top of the ridge, and it is marked, which is a really nice thing, you know, for trails. And then you finally come on the other end of that field area. Look, I can even do this thing, but it doesn't work on the screen. You can come over, and this is where the beginning of the Lost Cove Trail is, okay? So as you go down, and this is a two-mile hike down into the valley or Lost Cove, halfway down there's another trail that comes off called Devil's Creek, you know, which I thought was an ominous sign. But then you make this turn once you're down in the valley, and all of a sudden, here's a house in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the woods, okay? And so we walk towards this house, and here it is. This is one of the last two standing structures in Lost Cove, okay? And so we were able to explore it. We briefly went inside, but it was a little creepy in there, so we didn't stay long. And as you go through, you can kind of see there's some views of the house. And another part of the cart path that we were on has this big, beautiful stone wall. You don't really get a great idea of it on this picture, but it's a really big stone wall. It sits up about this high. It's about 5 feet high. And they had built that. It was part of the settlement, you know, as they go through. And remember, this whole area that you're seeing right there was cleared and had about 12 to 15 houses scattered through this cove. And so since 1957, you can see how the woods reclaim a place, can't you? This was another one of the home sites, and that flat part kind of up there on the right was the foundation, and the house has just collapsed down, and so you see some of the roofing material that's still there. We didn't have time to explore too much in Lost Cove, so I don't have a whole lot of other things. There are plenty more to see there that we didn't get to, so it means that we had to go back for another trip, okay? So, as I mentioned, the trail to Lost Cove is...
Oh, out there was Jesus!
Right. The trail to Lost Cove is most difficult, all right? And so when you get up to the top of that ridge, it's 2 miles down to the cove, and it's a very narrow, very rocky path with multiple switchbacks, okay, and some very steep areas. Once you finally get down to the cove, it kind of levels out. What's that?
You have to go back the same way.
And you have to go back up the same way once you get down there. Yes, that's exactly right. So the problem is you got to go back up those 2 miles. And that 2 miles gains 1,000 feet. So in 2 miles, you gain 1,000 feet. You lost that 1,000 feet and you gain that 2,000 feet. And then to add to that, since we went in the wintertime, the forest roads that you used to get to it was gated. It was closed. And that was 2 miles further back. So Ethan and I had to walk 4 miles to get to Lost Cove, okay? And by the time we got there, we didn't have enough time to really explore and go around because we had to get back. You know, if we wanted to get back before dark, or actually for band practice, we had to leave. And as I said, that meant that when we got to the end of the trail of Lost Cove and we were already tired, we still had 2 more miles to walk just to get to the car. So total, on most difficult trail hikes and things like that, we walked 8 miles. All right, now I can tell you my legs hurt, my feet hurt. I think I hurt everywhere, okay? And coming back up that trail was pretty tough, okay? You know, it was rough. But we made it by endurance and by Ethan talking constantly. And he told me everything that he knows about the Middle Ages, and then we moved on to Hitler and World War II. But you know, it kept us going. Kept him going, kept me going, and we forgot about our legs and our feet and how they were feeling. But you know what? A trial like that, a physical trial, because, you know, we could have been lost out there in the woods, it develops character.
Well, you're definitely a character, yes.
Yeah, right. I'm a character, all right. And that gives you hope, you see. And we knew that we were going to make it out of there, okay? Because our hope does not disappoint, right? That's it. All right. You know, deep down, I believe that we remembered that our God would not let us down, okay? That our hope would not disappoint, okay? You're starting to see a pattern here. Problems develop endurance. Endurance develops character. Character strengthens our confidence. Character strengthens our faith. Character strengthens our hope, okay? And I know that you all have seen hard times, and I know that you know what I'm talking about here. None of you has gotten through this easily or unscathed. Tough things that you have endured have made you strong. I know that you have great faith. You wouldn't be followers of Jesus right now. It's not it's not a real popular thing to do. So, I'm going to talk a little bit about the virus. And I apologize first, okay? Because I know you're sick of hearing about it. Believe me, I am too. I'm having to listen to the CDC every day at work so that we catch up on the latest stuff regarding this thing. But it is a time to talk about this, okay? And I want to give you some very brief, specific things that relate to our church as regards to this COVID-19, and that's kind of the official name, and I may use that, okay? Now, understand things I'm going to talk about here. This is not a forum right now. I don't want any questions, please. I don't want any comments right now, please. During the announcement time, we can do that, okay? And I'll be happy to answer questions there because I probably won't remember everything right now. But I do want to give you some specific things as they relate to this church, okay? You've already seen that we've made some modifications, and so we'll do a little bit more, too. I know you've read about this virus. I know you've heard all kinds of stuff about it. Most of it's true, not all of it's true. If you want to know the very truth, go to the cdc.gov website. That's where you'll find the best stuff. Coronaviruses cause colds, okay? They've been around forever, all right? But this one is unique. It's a little bit different because of mutation and the way that it's kind of come through. And for some people, it can be more dangerous than the flu, all right? The other reason that that's true is because we don't have any defense for it, okay? We don't have Tamiflu, the stuff that works on flu. We don't have vaccines, what we use on flu, okay? So to the majority of people, this will be like a cold, or at worst, bronchitis, okay? I treat that all the time in my clinic, all right? So I remember when I came back from Africa, you know, I stood up here and I started telling you about the trip, and I started telling you about all the neat diseases that I saw, and I could kind of see the congregation just kind of backing up like this, you know, cholera and typhoid, and, you know, I'm like, oh, God. Don't panic, okay? I didn't catch any of those, did I? And you won't either. All right, so... But I do want to tell you some specific things about this, all right? The thing that we want to be careful of are the high-risk people, are people who are at high risk. That's the reason that we're taking such precautions. Now, I know it's been an irritation to you all. It's been an aggravation. Some of you had things canceled. You know, this is really bothersome that this goes on. But there are reasons that we do that, okay? CDC explains that anytime a new virus comes out, they treat it with caution until they know exactly what's going to happen. It's not that they're panicking or worrying about this thing, and they know we'll get through this, okay? High-risk people over 65, people with chronic health conditions, especially lung problems, and the immunocompromised. If you have any reason to have trouble fighting off infections, you're in the high-risk group, okay? That's it, all right? Those three groups, all right? Now, another little brief thing, this is spread by droplets, not like flu through the air where it floats around for a while. The droplets come out and they fall to the surface, all right? And I heard the guy on the CDC talking about it. So that means that you have about a 6-foot, you know, distance that probably is pretty safe. And I said, I can probably cough further than 6 feet, but, you know, let me see if I can do it now. No. But that's kind of the idea, okay? So we can be in the same room here together, okay? See how that works? All right. So that's it. This is not airborne, basically, is what we're talking about. Droplets fall onto surfaces. Someone touches the surface, then you touch your eyes or something like that, and then you can get it, all right? That's where good hand washing comes in, all right? And then don't touch your eyes, nose, and mouth, all right? Somebody at work yesterday had the great idea that we get those cones that you put on dogs, you know, so they could be out to here so I couldn't reach them, and we could just walk around with those things. I think that would make light of this situation. We all walk around with cones on our heads. The cone heads. All right. So let me give you some practical pointers, okay, centering on the church, all right? So, and these are not requirements, you understand. These are recommendations, okay? If you want to go ahead and do everything normally, that's fine, all right? But the reason to do these things is to protect our high-risk people. If you're not worried about yourself, fine, but protect the people around you, okay? Control your cough, okay? Don't spread the droplets. That's number one. Wash your hands frequently. Hand washing with soap and water is better than hand sanitizer, by the way. So now there'll be a run on soaps in the stores. No, just kidding you. Okay, keep your distance, about 6 feet, okay? That's why we did the piece like that, all right? If you have fever or cough, don't come to church, all right? Stay home and you can watch on the computer, all right? We'll set it up again next week. It'll work out fine. So when it comes to communion, consider passing on the common cup. All right. Now, I know some of you already do that, but intinction is worse. Don't intinct, which means to dip your bread in the cup. We'll not be doing that. Okay. So you either receive it as a common cup or don't receive the blood. Taking it in one kind, receiving the body, is just as good. Okay. You'll not be missing anything there. All right. You'll be okay. If you're high risk, consider passing on communion completely. Now, what we will be doing is offering the wafers that we have that are individually wrapped. And you'll be offered one of these, the priest holding the wrapper, and you can just pull it out and receive it that way. Okay? So you'll be covered. They won't have touched it. The nice thing is that we won't let a priest go up there that's sick. Okay? And when, you know, we get ready for the communion here today, you're going to see the deacon and the priest walk out. They're going to wash their hands, okay? And then they'll come back in. So, and as you know, we're a touchy-feely church.
We've noticed.
Don't do it, okay? No touchy-feely right now. This is going to be hard, you know what? Because I love to touch. Not to say the wrong way, but I love to be a touchy-feely person, all right? But again, at the peace, bow to each other. You know what? We're going to forget. And so each of you just, whoop, kind of like that, because I'm going to forget, all right? Because we love each other, okay? But, you know, that's why. At the Lord's Prayer, no hand-holding, okay? Oh, and some of you will be just so thrilled. Oh, God, I can stay right where I am. Thank you. Stay right where you are, okay? And we'll say the Lord's Prayer. And it'll still be valid. All right, like I said, the celebrant won't be sick. He'll wash his hands before the consecration. And as I said, this is not spread like in the air like flu. So a distance of 6 feet is fine. Kaylee reminded me that, you know, a movie came out last year. What was it called? 5 Feet Apart, was that it? Yeah. And it was about two people had cystic fibrosis. And they already have this 6 or 5 foot rule. It was a 6 foot rule, but they stole a foot because they were in love with each other. So you all can do this, all right? So you're high risk people, you know. I think it's okay for you to still come to church because everyone else is going to do their part to keep you safe.
Amen.
Okay? You can do this because you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you, can't you? Yes. Remember, he doesn't give us strength. He is our strength.
Yes.
And as we believe, that which is true becomes manifest. Things happen because of what we believe. Okay? Now, our society is in one of those trials. I say society because it's worldwide. It will take endurance. It will build character. People have to go through lots of trials and problems in their lives, and they develop endurance. People develop endurance. They develop character. Character strengthens our confident hope, our faith. Bishop Jones has a prophetic word out about the virus as well, too. As you know, our bishop is a prophet, and he posted a prophetic word that he received, which I encourage you to read. It's on aslanroars.org, and it's a long one. I'm going to do a quick summary for you briefly here, but yes, it's good. Read it, please. And he says, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. I believe that God, who causes all things to work together for good, will reveal his glory when this is all said and done. The enemy is causing this epidemic, but just like the cross, it was not Satan's victory, but his defeat. And this will be Satan's defeat as well. This will spark revival in the church of God. Those searching outside will be more receptive to the hope of the gospel. this may have been just the thing we were waiting for. You understand? Don't be fearful. Only believe. Jesus, Lord, is at peace about all this. Therefore, you can be too. Remember what I said. Problems develop endurance. Endurance develops character. Character strengthens our confidence, our faith, our hope. Right? Funny thing about hope, you know, because that's what Paul's talking about in that scripture that I mentioned to you. Our hope does not disappoint. You remember, it's used lots of times in the Old Testament, especially, of all places, Job. Especially, of all places, the Psalms. Okay? I mean, you know, this whole book, I don't even have it in front of me, but this whole book is about hope. It's a book of hope. The Psalms are incredible. Psalm 9, but God will never forget the needy. The hope of the afflicted will never perish. Psalm 25, all day long I put my hope in you. Psalm 31, be strong and courageous, all you who hope in the Lord. Psalm 33, we put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and shield. Psalm 39, my hope only is in you. Psalm 42, I will put my hope in God. Psalm 43, I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Psalm 62, my hope is in him. Psalm 65, for you are the hope of everyone on earth. Psalm 71, yes, we're going on. O Lord, you alone are my hope. Psalm 78, so each generation should set its hope anew on God. Psalm 119, remember your promise to me. It is my only hope, but I have put my hope in your word. Psalm 130, I put my hope in your word. O Israel, hope in the Lord. Psalm 131, O Israel, put your hope in the Lord now and always. Psalm 145, the eyes of all who look to you in hope. Psalm 147, know the Lord's delight is in those who fear him, those who put their hope in his unfailing love. That's a lot of hope. Hope is the expectation of some good thing happening, okay? And you remember Paul talks about, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love, right? But faith and hope are right there with it. Those are the things that will never pass away. That's what Paul tells us there. But interestingly enough, in all of that scripture, Jesus doesn't talk about hope. Go through the scripture and see if you can find how many times Jesus uses the word hope. The only times you'll find it are when he's talking about giving a parable about the people in the parable having hope. Jesus does not talk about hope. You know why? Because to him, it's all fact. It's all actual. It's all reality. It's fully real. One commentator said, in other words, hope to Christ is certainty. The word hope is never on his lips. And when Jesus says he will be with us always, we know that's a fact. When Jesus says he has mansions prepared for us, we know that's a fact. When Jesus says, fear not, little flock, we know that he will be with us and cover us always. See, our hope, therefore, is not hope, but it's assurance. Not blind hope, like, oh, if it doesn't rain today. Our hope is stated fact. We are saved through the blood of Jesus. The bishop said, what really matters is to silence all the background noise and hear what God is saying. Amen. I believe God is saying, if we will only believe, we will see the glory of God in all this. So what do you do? What are you going to do? Well, hang on to these things. Three big things, okay? You can write these down if you want, because I'm almost done. Okay? Keep calm and wash your hands. Okay? Control your cough, like we said. Stay at home if you have a fever or cough, okay? Now, over the next few weeks, you can abstain from the common cup if you'd like, but don't intinct, okay? No hugging. No hand-holding. It's going to be hard. Keep a safe distance from each other. Protect our high-risk brothers and sisters. Okay? That's why you're doing these things. Number two, walk in wisdom, not fear.
Amen.
Okay? You know, I deal with infectious diseases all the time, all right? Jack deals with infectious diseases all the time. And we're prudent. We're cautious. But we're not panicked or fearful, okay? But you know what? I also don't drive down the road with my hands not on the wheel, knowing for sure that God is going to turn the wheel at the right time. I'm going to wash my hands, all right? At work, I wear a mask. So be prudent as well. It doesn't mean you're not faithful. You're just cautious. God put those things there for you to do as well. But be at peace. Because God is at peace. Jesus is our peace. Okay, so that's one thing. You heard all those practical things. Number two, walk in wisdom, not fear. Number three, pray. And here's what I want you to pray for. Pray for revival in this world. Pray that these circumstances will open unbelievers' hearts to the gospel of love, because they're scared and they'll be searching. Pray that God would show you opportunities to share that comforting assurance that you have in your hope, knowing God. You have the greatest hope of all people. And others need that now. Pray for those opportunities to occur. But remember, no fear. We're all going to get through this. Okay? Ethan and I walked 8 miles on Monday. We made it through that trial. We're going to make it through this trial too. Okay? And then we can concentrate on better things.
Aww.
Like love.
Oh,
come on.
Is that Daniel and Amanda?
Yeah. That's Daniel and Amanda.
And a
dog. Right.
I mean, it's a cute dog.
If you can't tell which one's Daniel, I'll
tell you. Back to our passage today. Listen again to the New Living Translation, okay? Verse 2. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Amen.